When you want pithy quotes, check out social media. When you want words of truth, look to the Bible. But be careful not to get those two mixed up. I am Rob West. Some familiar sayings may sound like Bible verses, but they're really not. Today we'll find out why so many old saws really don't cut wood. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Of all the Bible verses that aren't actually in the Bible, here's the most familiar one. God won't give you more than you can handle. Now, this sounds great, especially if you're struggling with financial hardship. Unfortunately, it's not true. The fact is, life is always more than we can handle without God. After all, we need His help just to take our next breath. The idea that God won't give you more than you can handle is a misreading of 1 Corinthians 10:13, which actually says, God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. The good news is God's faithfulness, providing a way so we can endure temptation, not necessarily avoid it. Okay, here's another popular quote. Maybe you heard your grandma say this when you refused to do your chores. God helps those who help themselves. Again, it might seem like something from the Bible, but it's not. In fact, it's the opposite of what God's Word says, which is that our help comes from one place. Psalm 121:2 tells us, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." It's not God plus me getting the job done. God's help is never contingent on what you or I do. In fact, there's nothing we can do even to earn God's help. But again, the good news from the Bible is that God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's help is always available, not because we do our chores, but because He loves us in spite of our brokenness. Well, we're just getting warmed up here with biblical-sounding sayings that aren't actually in the Bible. Have you ever had a disappointment and someone told you, if God closes a door, He'll open a window? Besides letting the bugs in one way or another, what is that really saying? That God always resolves your problems immediately? In fact, that's not always the case, is it? Sometimes God closes a door and we have to wait, with the doors and the windows firmly shut. The Bible does promise that God will keep us headed in the right direction when we're following Him with all our heart. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you." But the way you should go doesn't necessarily mean God will make an escape hatch when you don't seem to be making progress. You'll find that God often does some of His best work as you wait, teaching you to trust Him even more. Psalm 37:7 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." Our next quote is, "To thine own self be true." That might sound like scripture, but it's really from Shakespeare's play Hamlet. As a piece of advice, it's completely unbiblical. "To thine own self be true" suggests that all you need for success is to follow your own instincts and desires. Unfortunately, it's our own instincts and desires that cause us to sin. Self-reliance is no substitute for reliance on Jesus. He is the source of truth and the only one we can really rely on. That brings me to the next common saying, another piece of unbiblical advice: follow your heart. First of all, here's what Jeremiah 17:9 has to say about our hearts. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" In light of that truth, following your heart seems like a really bad idea. BibleStudyTools.com puts it this way: God gives us passions and desires and uses our lives to prepare us for His purposes, just as He prepared David during his time as shepherd, soldier, and court musician. But that only works if we completely surrender our lives to His leading. The next not-in-the-Bible quote is, "If God brings you to it, He'll lead you through it." what's true about this is that God never abandons us. Jesus said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's Matthew 28:20. But does that mean God will always pull us out of difficult situations? Not necessarily. He certainly can rescue us from pain, but sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he uses trouble to help us rely on him more and ourselves less. The bottom line, if you're a follower of Jesus, you can always trust his provision and rest in his peace, even in the midst of hard circumstances. Your calls are next. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Letting people down is such a miserable experience, isn't it? They expected you to do something, but you didn't. Even worse, when people expect you to take care of them, but you mistreat them instead, the betrayal can change things forever. Take David. He was supposed to be out at war, protecting his nation, but instead he decided to abuse Bathsheba. The fallout was miserable. Secrecy, conspiracy, murder. Psalm 51 recounts David's thoughts after he had finally come to terms with his guilt, casting himself on the Lord. "Do not cast me out of your presence. Do not take your spirit away. Restore me to joy." That's our prayer too when we sin. In Christ, we can all find redemption. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
I'm absolutely delighted you're along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It's time to take your calls and questions today. I'm wondering what you're thinking about financially. I'd love to tackle it with you, help you apply biblical principles and themes to the practical decisions and choices you're making today. Whether it's living, giving, owing, or growing, we can really put all of our financial decisions into one of those three buckets: our lifestyle, our giving, our owing for debt and taxes, or our growing, our saving, short-term or long-term, whatever it might be. Applying the wisdom of God's word, starting with the idea that God owns it all and we're stewards, that money is a tool, that we're to hold it loosely, give it generously, live and save appropriately. When we do that in light of Scripture, a biblical worldview, well, it puts us in a position to experience God's best. Doesn't mean that God is a cosmic vending machine. If we give, he'll give us back financial blessing. He may, But ultimately, it's a matter of trusting in Him and having an eternal mindset, not being anchored to this world, the temporal, but really to have our eyes fixed on that which is to come, the eternal perspective, and living in light of that so that we can bless others and help them and give generously and be connected to God's activities, having contentment in our lives, living within our means, avoiding debt, all of the things that we see in Scripture. We want to help you do that with the decisions and choices you're making today. So give us a call. We've got some lines open. Our team is standing by. We'd love to get you on the program today. The number, 800-525-7000. Whatever you're thinking about financially today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin today in Missouri. Hi, Joseph. You'll be our first caller, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob, this is Aaron. Thank you guys so much for taking my call. I've been following your program for a couple of years, and I'm a huge fan.
Great. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
My question today revolves around savings. I've got a couple funds. I've got a general fund of about $5,000 and then like an emergency fund of $10,000. I actually heard a program of yours a little bit ago about online banks with high yield. So I moved the $5,000 over and put it in an awesome bank with about 5% APY.
Nice.
So I'm really happy about that. My question is, can I go ahead and do that with the $10,000 emergency fund? Obviously, I'm really excited by the idea of my emergency fund growing with me and growing with inflation, but I'm also worried about being able to access it instantly and quickly.
Yeah, I love that. Well, by definition, the emergency fund is for the unexpected, so we don't know when we're going to need it, but hopefully you don't need it within, you know, hours, and you can have, you know, wait a day or two, which is what you're typically going to be needing to wait with the ACH transfer. So what I typically recommend is you have your main checking account that's your operating account, if you will. That's where you're paying your bills out of. You may have your salary or wages direct deposited in there, and you're operating on a budget. And then you have a separate savings account, maybe a couple of them, one earmarked for your emergency savings. Once that's fully funded, maybe you have another one for a car replacement or a vacation fund. The great thing is these savings accounts with the online banks not only offer these compelling yields, you mentioned nearly 5% for some of them, but they don't have any fees. So you could have multiple accounts if that helps you just separate funds and watch them grow so you can achieve certain goals, but linking those to your operating account, your primary checking account, probably at another institution, maybe a brick and mortar institution that you can access locally, allows you to go in and electronically transfer funds. And usually, you know, that'll show up within 24 hours, 2 days at the most. So I think that's a great plan. I'd put all of your emergency funds there. You know, hopefully you've built up a little bit of a cushion and you're not, you know, living right down to the wire on that which is being deposited to your operating account. You know, if you are, you may want to have just a little extra there in case of a timing issue or something that is more immediate. But I think having 100% of your emergency fund and other short-term savings in that online bank earning some compelling interest, I think makes a lot of sense.
All right, Rob, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, Joseph. Hey, congrats on getting that emergency fund in place. I know that must feel good to have that fully funded. We're delighted to have you on the program today. And if we can help further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. God bless you, buddy. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with whatever your question is. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Montana. Hi, Craig. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Rob.
Hi there. How can I help?
So my question is, I've got some cash. My wife and I have some cash that we that is sitting in a bank earning no interest or anything. And I've looked around and I get these notices that there's some high-yield savings opportunities out there.
Yes.
And I don't know how you pick a bank. And, you know, there's banks that I see online that are, I don't know anything about them. But I just wondered about your counsel as to how to get some value out of the, or some return on a high yield savings as opposed to maybe a CD.
Yes. Yeah, I like that a lot. I mean, I think the first thing to do is really to think about the cash reserves that you have and putting that money into buckets. You know, so the first bucket is what I would call that emergency savings. We generally use a 3 to 6 months worth of expenses as a guideline there. It doesn't mean that's a hard and fast rule. Ultimately, you need to make the call on how much you want in your emergency savings, but that's for the unexpected. It needs to remain liquid, and therefore a high yield savings account with FDIC insurance is perfect, Craig, because as I said to the previous caller, you've got access to it. You're getting a decent interest rate, but it's just a transfer away, a free electronic transfer of 24 to 48 hours. When you get beyond that, though, once that's fully funded at whatever number of months worth of expenses you're most comfortable with, then we have more flexibility. Now, if you want to take the amount beyond that and still not put it at the risk of, let's say, the stock market, you want more of a guaranteed return. Well, that's where CDs, I think, can be really helpful. Whereas right now, the typical online bank with a high yield savings might be paying 4.1, 4.2 worth of interest. A CD of 12 months, you know, might get you 5.5. So, you know, you could get another 1% to 1.5% on a CD if you're willing to lock it up. I just wouldn't do that for your emergency savings because by definition, you want to be able to get to that money a little quicker. So I would start by defining how much is enough for that emergency fund and keep that in the high yield savings. In order to pick that bank, unless you've already keyed in on one, I might go to bankrate.com. Bankrate.com will allow you to search and sort by those that offer the best rates right now, and it does change. And then they have a 5-star rating system just on the strength of the institution, the customer service, that type of thing. So bankrate.com might be a great place for you to go to find that bank, both for high-yield savings and CDs. And then I would just apply that thinking that I mentioned earlier about what is your emergency fund and what's beyond your emergency fund as you make the decision on what goes in savings versus what goes in a CD. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I like that idea, and we're comfortable coming up with that, you know, what, how much we need for an emergency fund. Good. But it's the other cash sitting around in the bank doing nothing that I have concerns about.
Yeah. Well, are you wanting to take a little bit of risk with it and try to get a little better return, or are you looking for something that's guaranteed?
I'm looking for low risk.
Okay.
What are you thinking of when you think of more?
Well,
risk?
Low risk, I would say, you know, putting a bond portfolio together. I mean, bonds have been out of favor, but right now is a great opportunity to get into a diversified bond portfolio just because as rates come down, the bond prices will go up and you'll be able to take advantage of these higher yields, probably government and corporate bonds. I'd use an advisor. We recommend the CKA designation. You can find one at faithfi.com. Just click find the CKA. Thanks for your call, Craig.
We're surrounded by a culture where good is called evil and evil is called good. Churches have even started looking and sounding more like the world. So is there any clarity to be found in our world? And do we really know what it means to be called Christian these days? In his article in The Stand, Dr. Ray Rooney gives some background to those questions, then gives some much-needed clarity. If you're looking for help to become a more authentic Christian, you should read A Little Clarity for Christianity at afa.net/thestand.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God. with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. We've got a few lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head right back to the phones. Leonard will be coming your way in a moment, but first, Richard in Alabama. Go ahead, sir.
First of all, good morning.
Thank Hi there.
You for taking my call.
Absolutely.
This is my first time calling, but long-time listener, started with Dan Celia.
Great.
And I'm grateful for you taking that spot. Okay, anyway, with that being said, I'm 67 years old. I have accumulated, my house is paid for, which is about, they selling in weeks like 300 to 325. And all my bills and everything is paid off. I don't owe nobody nothing. I have a business that's producing about $100,000 to $150,000 a year in income. My wife is retired and she has Social Security and retirement, and I'm a pastor and I got Social Security coming in.
Okay.
The question that I got is that, you know, I'm a little disgruntled with the government, and I don't want to give nothing to the government.
Yes, sir.
And what I'm doing is that I'm thinking about I want to disburse the money to my children and stuff while I'm still living.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I got about $150,000 sitting up in a bank that I'm only getting like 0.10 interest rate on. So I'm looking for some advice on that. Can you help?
Yeah. Very good. I'd be happy to, Richard. I appreciate your kind remarks about the program and Dan Celia. I didn't have the chance to know Dan. I was very familiar with his ministry and impact, and I know a lot of folks listening to American Family Radio were deeply impacted by Dan's ministry, and that certainly continues, and I'm absolutely delighted to carry on his commitment to biblical financial wisdom. I appreciate the background on your situation, and I can certainly understand your desire to, as one of my mentors, Ron Blue, likes to say, do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. You know, I think that's a good mantra to live by. I think the key for you is to define how much is enough for both lifestyle and accumulation. Lifestyle, meaning how much are we going to spend on a monthly basis? And once we cap that, then we know how much we need to cover our bills for the rest of our lives. And we can match that up to the income sources that we have. Some may be guaranteed, like Social Security, that will continue. Others, like the income you're generating from your work as a pastor and anything else you're doing, you know, may go away over time. And we need to know how much do we need to accumulate in assets that we can offset that income when you're no longer working. Now, you, I suspect, are looking at retirement through a biblical lens and saying you understand that your calling doesn't have an expiration date. This idea that we retire at 65 with a gold watch and a pension check and sit on the front porch is a relatively modern idea, and it's not a biblical one at that. So, you know, we look at that season of life to take our experience and wisdom and service to the Lord and say, until he calls us home, Lord, what would you have me to do? That may or may not involve paid work, but it most certainly includes our service to him throughout the whole of our life. But it also does, as a prudent steward and planner, require that we define enough for our accumulation. The nice thing is, once you've defined and capped your lifestyle and you know how much you need in retirement, and that's a constant conversation between you and your wife and the Lord, then you're free to do some hilarious giving and begin to accelerate that the giving that you'd like to do. With regard to the two questions you asked, number one is related to where do you put those assets, and anything that's not invested that you want to keep safe, meaning you don't want to take any risk with it, I would keep either in a combination of a high-yield savings account with FDIC insurance, meaning it's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, plus probably some CDs, and you're going to get between those two 4 to 5.5% interest right now. That'll probably be coming down next year. And then obviously anything that you have at least a 5-year time horizon on, you could then invest it. With regard to giving money away to the kids, there's two thoughts there. One is you can just give them straight cash. The great news is whether you give it to them now or you give it to them as an inheritance, at least the way the current laws are, you're not going to pay any tax on that. And they're not either. You can give them essentially as much as you want. You can give them $17,000 a year, or you and your wife could give them $34,000 a year each and not even tell the IRS about it. There's an annual gift exclusion of $17,000 per person. If you go beyond $34,000 in any one year, you just fill out a gift tax form. There's not any taxes due. It would just eat away at your lifetime gift exclusion of over $12 million. So you got a long way to go there. With regard to, you know, anything else, you know, it's really up to you as to whether you want to give them straight cash, or perhaps you put some of it in a donor advised fund and then you help the kids give it away. And that would be a great way to model any generosity, you know, values that you want to transfer to the kids, but also be active in dispersing what God has entrusted to you for his purposes. But I've thrown a lot at you there, Richard, so give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I thank you. You know, I've come to a place of what is enough. So my motivation to get more is not there no more.
Yes.
You know, it's just the survival now. I got three grands that I was going to take this year here, a cash lump, and put into a probably going to get you to run a CD or something by me, a company that I can use to do that with them. Then after that, I was going to go ahead on and start dispersing these $5,000 increments to the children along the way, because see, I never had a dad and never gave me nothing.
Yeah. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. Richard, if you don't mind holding the line, we can pick up this conversation just on the other side and make some decisions about where you go from here. Leonard, coming your way as well. We'll be right back.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Ark. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Ark Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Ark.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Leonard, be coming your way in just a moment. Richard, before the break, we were talking about your desire to do some giving while you're living and dispersing funds to your kids and grandkids while you're alive. You've defined enough. God's blessed you with means, and you've got a good income. You're not trying to increase your lifestyle, so you'd like to accelerate your giving. I think that's great. I think with regard to kids and grandkids, first decision is, do we want to earmark anything for college? If so, I'd use a 529 education savings plan. But if you don't want to, if you're ready to give it to them now, you just make the gift. If you want to wait, then I'd probably put the money not in a custodial account, but in a separate account in your name or jointly held with your wife, and then earmark it for them, make those gifts each year as you want to, and then you would choose the time and place of the actual gift where they would take control of the funds so you can make sure they've reached the level of spiritual and financial maturity you want, that type of thing. I would do that with a high-yield savings account. If you want to invest it, you certainly could do that, or you could keep it more safe and liquid. But give me your follow-up questions on all we've talked about so far.
Well, the follow-up question was, do you have a recommendation for, savings, this $150,000 that I got in savings there that I can do some? Now, I do have an IRA account, but I don't put nothing in it.
Okay.
It's just open with $1,000.
Got it.
And so
Yeah, what I would do, Richard, is I would go to bankrate.com. That's bankrate.com. Just click on the CD or the high yield savings tab, and it'll give you a listing of those that have the best rates right now. And then you can also see the five-star rating system just to get the ratings on each of them. But that'll give you everything you need, and then you can decide which one you're most comfortable with to open an online account or several of them, link them up to your checking, and then you just transfer the money in, and you'll be getting a much better rate than you are right now.
Okay, good, man. Thank you for that. Right. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Richard. God bless you, my friend. We appreciate you being on the program, and thanks for your kind remarks about this program and for Dan Celia as well. 800-525-7000 to, well, let's stay in Alabama. Leonard, you've been very patient. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. Like your previous caller, I'm a longtime listener to AFA and a big fan of Dan Celia's, and we certainly miss him, but I want to thank you for stepping in and taking his spot, and I'm really encouraged by listening to you, and you do a great job. You're very professional. So
thank you.
My question is, every day I receive two or three emails regarding the federal government's plans to issue central bank digital currency and freezing our bank accounts and so on and so forth. I don't know whether that's legitimate or not, and I wanted to see what you know about it and what we should do to prepare for that.
Yeah, it's a great question. The Federal Reserve has made no decision on issuing a central bank digital currency and really can't without the issuance of an authorizing law that has to come from Congress is the bottom line. You know, the idea of a CBDC, which is basically a digital version of whatever central bank digital currency we might be talking about, the euro, the yen, obviously the dollar, you know, these are rolled out by central banks across the world. And what's interesting is that 114 countries are exploring central bank digital currencies, and their collective economies represent more than 95% of the world's GDP. So this is not a new idea. It's actively being looked at, and that exploration includes the United States, although we're a good bit behind many of the others. You know, President Biden asked a number of agencies to review it. They've come back with their findings, but basically this exists as a series of white papers at this point, Leonard. So nothing is imminent. And the bottom line is, and the Fed Chairman Powell has acknowledged this, they can't act alone. This has to come through Congress. And Congress is going to make this a matter of much debate before it would ever see the light of day, just because so many congressional leaders, and I would certainly be in this camp, are concerned about the controls and the privacy issues with every transaction finding its origination at the Federal Reserve. And that kind of social control that could be imposed and that kind of loss of privacy to the U.S. government is not something that folks are fond of. So you're going to see a lot of debate on this in the months and years ahead. Some of the states have actually gotten ahead of this. For instance, Florida, you know, the governor there, DeSantis, has tried to get ahead of it by saying that any central bank digital currency that may be issued would not comply with Florida's Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, and therefore he's trying to preempt it. And a lot of other states are following suit. So this is something we should watch carefully. This is something we need to speak up about, but it's not here and it's not coming anytime soon. It's still very early. And you know, China's been in a beta for years on this thing, and they were, you know, probably 5 years ahead of us on it. So I don't think there's anything to do at this point other than just continue to watch and show up and vote for those folks who understand the role of government and, you know, the privacy that we all should retain when it comes to our financial transactions. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, Rob. I appreciate the advice. That's very reassuring.
Good. Well, I appreciate your call, Leonard. Thanks for your kind remarks. If we can serve you in any way along the way, don't hesitate to reach out again. God bless you. Let's head to Ohio. Hi, Ellen. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. I have a question. My husband died recently, and he was a purchaser over probably the last 20 years of silver. My family and I wonder, what now should we be doing with it?
Yeah. What would you say, and first of all, I'm sorry to hear about your husband's passing, Ellen. What would you say the silver represents in your total investable assets? What percentage?
He was a very quiet about it, and I really do not know.
Okay. All right. Do you have an advisor, somebody that is helping you just get an understanding of where you all are at financially and what you have and what your plan is moving forward?
We have a trust, but he never divulged that to them. And we have somebody from a well-known financial institution that we also deal with.
Okay. All right. And have you been to see that person since his passing?
Yes.
Okay.
And but again, I never made any mention of it because he never wanted it disclosed.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Would you mind sharing approximately how much you have, or do you even know?
No, I don't know the total value.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, I really think you ought to have an advisor who's helping you think through this. I mean, I can understand where your husband was coming from, and yet now it's time to make sure that we look at all of your assets and have them properly positioned so that you have what you need to cover your income into the future and to access if you need it down the road. Doesn't mean you have to automatically sell everything, but you need to have a plan, and we need somebody looking at that and speaking into it with the full lay of the land. I've got to take a quick break, Ellen. Let's finish up on the other side. We'll be right back.
What do we do when people mistreat us? How do we respond? If we listen to the voices of the world around us, we will be no different than they are. God seems to have a different plan.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, The Tender Warrior, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the Faith Fi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the Faith Fi app?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We have room for maybe one more call between now and the end of the program today, 800-525-7000. You can give us a call right now. Just before the break, we were talking to Ellen in Ohio. Her husband passed away this past spring, and he had accumulated silver for 20 years. He was very tight-lipped about what he was accumulated, didn't tell his advisor. She's not even aware fully of what's there and how much it's worth. And she's just wondering where she goes from here in terms of how to approach this. And Ellen, ultimately, you are the steward, and I suspect there's an emotional connection to this because it was something your husband accumulated it for so long. And yet my recommendation, but again, you need to think and pray through this and make your own decision. My recommendation would be to, first of all, find out what this is worth. How much do you actually have? And that would mean you'd need to get an appraiser to take a look at what your husband has accumulated. And then look at that in light of your overall portfolio. Now, that doesn't mean you automatically need to sell it, but it does mean you may be overweighted in silver. Now, here's the reality on silver. It's generally seen as a safe investment, but its value ebbs and flows even more than gold does. Listen to this. In the last year, silver prices have gone as low as $17 an ounce to nearly $26 an ounce. If we go back even further, let's look at the last decade. Silver has gone from its lowest price under $14 an ounce, while it was almost $28 an ounce at its peak. So that is a peak to trough difference of over 100% in just a 10-year period. That's a lot of volatility. And that's more volatility than you'd get in stocks and bonds, and even more than you would get in gold. And so for that reason, it's probably worth looking at whether, in light of your financial plan, meaning how much income do you need, what assets do you have that are generating it, are your bills covered, are you going to need to tap into this at some point, you know, into your assets to be able to fund your long-term care if you need that. You know, 70% of Americans 65 and older will need some form of long-term care for probably between 18 months and 3 years, and that can run $10,000 a month, depending on what type of care you need. So, you know, we just want to have a plan and somebody that you can look to that says, here's how we're investing your assets, here's how we're protecting what God has given to you and your husband that you're now the steward of, and here's how it's being invested. And that, you know, may involve someone recommending that you reduce your exposure to silver because it is more volatile and it doesn't generate income. But that would require that you be open to allowing an advisor to bring, you know, that silver asset that you have under their advisement and ultimately perhaps even their management. But give me your thoughts on all that.
I appreciate that very much, as I'm not into, you know, the silver at all. He didn't ask me about purchasing it, and I don't even know how he, or why he got started, maybe other than I think a friend of his did some, and so, you know, one thing leads to another.
Yes, ma'am.
So I think, you know, we must, you know, find out, first of all, it sounds like what right now the value would be of it.
That's right.
And go from there.
I think that's exactly right. And then you'd have a good lay of the land to know what assets do you actually have between cash and silver and stocks and bonds, retirement accounts, whatever you have, and then develop a plan to manage that in light of your overall goals and objectives and whatever you believe God has for you in this next season. That may be your current advisor. If you don't feel absolutely comfortable, maybe you need to interview one or two more and find the one that's the best fit. If you wanted to entertain interviewing some other advisors to perhaps look at your whole financial picture, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, and you could find a CKA there in Ohio. There's some wonderful Certified Kingdom Advisors there, and you just go to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click Find a CKA at the top of the page, and you could do a zip code search and interview a few. But whether it's your current advisor or a new one, that would be my recommendation, is to engage that person, let them know what's there. They can help you get a value on it, and then you create a plan. Okay?
Okay, and again, if it's, I go to the website, it's faithfi.com.
Yes, ma'am, and right there at the top of the page, you'll see a button that says Find a CKA. That stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor, and you can put in your city and state or your zip code, and you'll find a list of Certified Kingdom Advisors in your area. God bless you, Ellen. Thanks for calling. If we can serve you along the way with anything else, don't hesitate to reach out. To Pennsylvania, hi, Laverne. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello. I when I was 18 and 20 years old, my parents were looking for a safe place to keep a small investment I was making, approximately $10,000 in each amount, and we started annuities. And now I'm 30. I'm buying into my dad's dairy business.
Okay.
And I'm seeing that the interest rate on the one annuity is now 2.8%. Is that the best place for it, or should I be putting it, investing it, or if I keep it long term, is that the best place?
Yeah, I just don't think so. I mean, for a 30-year-old guy, I mean, you're in the prime of your income-generating years. I love that you're buying in to your dad's business, and you know that's going to give you an asset that ultimately you could, you know, sell to another family member or somebody outside. But in terms of your investment dollars, an annuity with a guaranteed interest rate down at 3% just doesn't make sense to me. I would, if it were me, I would look at pulling that money out. I'd make sure you have the proper amount of insurance coverage, and I would do that through a term life insurance policy of at least 10 to 12 times your income if you have a, you know, you're married and or you have kids, you know, to make sure that they could replace your income if you were to pass away. And then I would take that money and that plus whatever you're continuing to put away for the long term, you know, in a Roth IRA or, you know, if you're a self-employed person, maybe a SEP IRA. But I would do your investing by taking more risk, but giving yourself much more upside potential than you're ever going to see in one of these fixed annuities.
Okay, sure. I had been treating it somewhat as an emergency fund if I ever absolutely needed it. I realized until I'm 59, it'll still only be $18,000 in each one.
Yeah, the challenge with that is, I mean, even at 3%, I mean, you could get 4% plus right now in a high-yield savings account with no fees. The problem with the annuity is it's just complex. You know, you've got surrender charges. You're probably beyond that at this point. But just to use it as a savings vehicle, I think you could do a lot better having it outside of an insurance product.
Okay. So what will I be paying tax on the interest I earned?
It just depends, yes. It depends on whether that money went in pre-tax or not. And so it may be that you pay tax on the whole thing as it comes out. You may just pay tax on the gains. But if this would be the year, if you do pull it out, to use a CPA if you don't already, and they can help you calculate the tax that would be owed.
Okay. So you see it better invested elsewhere.
I do. I'd go outside of it. You're young. You've got time on your side. I'd get this in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. Let this thing grow. Now, your emergency savings of 3 to 6 months expenses, I wouldn't encourage you to invest that. Let's put that just in a high-yield savings account with one of the online banks and let that earn some good interest, but have it safe and readily available. But anything beyond your emergency fund, as you're throwing off cash, I'd try to get as much of it into a retirement vehicle as possible, like a Roth IRA or a SEP IRA or both, and get that invested as opposed to using an insurance contract.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Laverne. God bless you, my friend. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. Hey, some news for you today regarding used cars. You know, we recommend buying a newer used car whenever you're in the car market. Now, doesn't mean there's not ever a place for a new car. In fact, if nobody bought new cars, we wouldn't have any used cars eventually. So as long as it fits into your budget and hopefully you're not having to borrow, or if you are, you can pay it off quickly. But for those who are just looking to, you know, try to manage money wisely and, you know, money is tight, trying to save for the future and balance all of our competing priorities, buying a used car can often make some sense where we miss that depreciation and we buy a good quality car with, you know, good performance ratings and reliability with low mileage, and we drive it, as Howard Dayton, the former host of Faith and Finance, used to say, until the wheels fall off. Well, used car prices have been really elevated just because through the pandemic we had supply chain constraints, we had shortages on chips that are critical to car manufacturing, and so our inventories were lower on new cars, which pushed up the used car prices. In fact, they were both elevated. Well, we've started to see these prices begin to come down. Used car prices are finally dropping. Nearly all makes have seen a price decline in their models. You know, we've had across the board, used cars are down about 10%. since last year, which is great. And then some are down a bit more than that. Tesla, for instance, down about 30%. Honda, Kia, Nissan have seen more significant declines as well. But take a look at whether this is the time, if you've been waiting, to go ahead and make that used car purchase. I would find the make and model you want and then scour the internet. The last used car I bought, we bought three states away, but I saved about $3,000. I flew up there, spent the night, grabbed the car, and drove it home. But if you're willing to be patient and you're willing to travel a little bit, you can usually do much better on a car. But some welcome news as we see car prices finally starting to fall. Hey, folks, thanks for being along with us today. I'm so thankful to be able to share God's wisdom from the Bible related to your financial decisions and choices. On behalf of my team, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, Adam Suddeth, Robert Youngblood, I'm Rob West. So thankful to have you along today, and hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again here in Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.